And you don't seem to understand. A shame you seemed an honest man.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Serial Episode Lane, Episode 1. That's because that's what I'm calling it. It's Lost in Translation, Mon.
Solid.
Yeah. So today we're talking about Layer 01, which I think is called Weird.
It is.
It's called Weird, yeah. Which, I think that this is a very good title for the first episode, because the episode was very weird. Everything was just very, very strange, very weird, but we'll talk about that.
That pattern can't hold up, though, because in the next episode you're not going to describe it as very girls.
Or, I hope the next one's called Explanation.
No, it's Psyche.
Is it?
Yeah. It's on the back of the box.
You looked at it. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. It's
Weird Girls, Girl, Psyche religion.
All right. Fantastic. So, just before we dive into actually talking about it, let's talk about our expectations for what we thought Lane would be about. Because I had no idea. I was just told it's hard to follow. It's very trippy. It's sort of like Juri's adventure in Tamers when she had she was being possessed by the D-Reaper. And I would completely agree with all those statements, having actually watched it now, but I had no idea what to expect from the story. I still don't know what to expect from the story, to be honest.
I mean, none of that was true, because the other day I read the blurb on the back of the DVD to you.
Yeah.
About the girl committing suicide and then speaking from the other side of the internet.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know it was just a random person in her year rather than a friend of hers.
Mm.
Maybe I misinterpreted that. It just made more sense.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be a classmate, but no, it's someone who's in another class, but it goes to her school.
Mm. And I thought it was more of a digital world. It probably is, but I thought it was more established. Like, this girl's just like, oh yeah, I use the internet for emails. It's not like a VR thing. Although the dad sort of implies there's like a second life.
Yeah.
You know, internet world that he's really part of with his weird 8-screen setup.
Yeah, because I think that's clearly what people thought the internet was going to be.
It kind of was for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, it was going in the direction of, we have to just make things bigger. And they've obviously gone in that route of, let's make things bigger instead of, let's make things smaller, which we're currently in the process of doing. Like, we have computers that are, you know, the size of our hands, and there are phones. But everyone always thought, oh, the computers will go huge, huge, huge. And so, yeah, for expectations, I didn't know what to go into, because no one's actually said, oh, this is an amazing anime.
I've heard people say it's good.
Okay, because, yeah, well, I've personally never heard anyone say, this is an amazing anime, it's a great anime. I've only ever heard people saying, this is an anime, or this is a weird anime, or just something to that extent. Like, nothing, no one's ever actually explained what's happened. They've just said, this is an anime. So no one's actually super sold me on the anime, besides saying it's written by the person who had a very large hand in producing Tamers and writing Tamers. So I always sort of like thought, oh, okay, it's going to be a bit dark in that regards.
I'd also heard that it was weird, and primarily there's a singular image that someone once described where, like, there's a person who is attached to a bunch of computers by, like, lots of wires, and they're basically integrated into the machine. And that was described fairly vividly to me, and I don't know what else the show was about.
Mm.
The premise is interesting, although I'm getting the feeling that there might be 6 episodes worth of content in this 12-episode show.
Yeah, no, the first episode was very sort of not much story, but a lot of stuff, but I'd like to believe that this stuff is going to be made sense of in the next few episodes. But yeah, we'll talk more about the episode then. As for how we'll be covering this episode, we'll be doing this monthly, and we'll be doing it around about the middle of each month, and we'll be hopefully releasing this episode on Wednesday, so the middle of the month around on Wednesday. We'll be recording it on the weekend, and we'll be releasing the Raws straight after recording, and then we'll be releasing the full edited episode on Wednesday. And I'm doing that because I feel like it's just a lot of episodes just to release, you know, 4 episodes on one weekend, and that might actually happen if we have, you know, if we have Try or we have a PV to cover, and then we have our usual Atmon and main episode. And I feel like if we released another episode on the weekend, we're just overloading our listeners. So I feel like a Wednesday release is you know, spread out enough, and it's, you know, in the middle of the week. So I just feel, well, we'll try it on a Wednesday. If that doesn't go well, I'll try another day, but I just feel like that's probably a good day for us to release.
I guess you'll try another day.
It's such a
time to go.
My brain went the same place, but I didn't make a reference. I'm glad you did.
I think I'll try another day.
Thanks, Jay.
This is Madonna in James Bond.
It's not my time to go. Ba-ba-bo. All right, so on to the general synopsis.
Present day. Present time.
The first thing that happens is that we sort of get some setting and then a girl kills herself. And she looks kind of happy. And the first thing I noticed in this series is that all the characters have really weird teeth.
They definitely do a lot of strange animation focus on that.
Mm.
But I guess that's meant to uncanny value you. Now, okay, actually, you know what? Let's take a step backwards. The animation quality in this show is very mediocre.
It's old.
You know, it's very old, but there's a lot of really old shows that are really pretty still. Like, this is a mediocre-looking show. Now, at that stage, you have to begin to ask questions like, is what I'm seeing a perfectly crafted, everything means something, you know, everything is an intentional visual element and the entire show wouldn't work without that element? Or is it a product of cheap animation?
I think it might be both. Like, we have the settings and it's just sort of specks of color everywhere. There's like the sort of almost space-like colors of purple and black that's just on the road for no reason.
They usually fill shadows.
Yeah, there's specks of what looks to be blood where there wouldn't be blood. They're just decoration. It's just like someone just grabbed some paint on their fingers and flicked it. But it may be, and what I think it might be is that's how Lane sees the world, maybe, because I feel like they're setting up Lane to have some possible mental illness, that she's not seeing things how other people see things.
Yeah, and I think that's probably relevant. So I'm at this stage, I'm ascribing the interesting things to be actually intended part of the animation.
Mm. Yeah, for now I'm saying everything's intended. People always said, oh, you know, the Tamers is really dark and, you know, all these bits were taken from Lane and they had very similar themes in that regard. So, and everything's on purpose. So I'm going to hope and think that for now it's everything has a purpose.
Let's be real. The only thing they really took, that Tamers really took from Lane, was Juri's eyes.
Yeah.
Lane's eyes are weird.
Yeah, her whole expression is very weird. But we have a whole segment on the similarities between Tamers and Lane, which sometimes might be empty, sometimes might be full. I don't know. I've never seen Lane before.
What are we calling that segment? Lamers?
Oh, that's really good, actually. No, I just... See, I have this segment that's called Synopsis Experiments Lane.
Solid.
Yeah.
Workable.
And I believe I've written down more in the in another file, just not the one I have up. So back to the synopsis. Girls are getting emails from the dead girl, and Lane says she's not very good with computers, so she hasn't checked her computer yet.
Then people make fun of her for being a baby.
Yeah, and she's pretty vacant, and she's like, oh, who's this? And they're saying, oh, you know that girl who killed herself last week? And she's like, oh, I've never heard of her. Like, who is this girl? And she's just very vacant. And they're in a programming class, and all of a sudden, Lane suddenly starts having smoke or lightning or something coming from her fingers. And she seems to handle it really well.
Well, she just thinks it's fascinating.
Yeah, she just looks and she's like, okay. And it fills up the classroom. And then Lane gets home and logs onto her computer, and it's this really, like, I thought it was a mirror. I thought she was turning around one of those old-fashioned wooden mirrors, but it was actually red. It was like this really weird-looking red computer. And it's a really interesting, like, seeing what people thought the internet would be and what computers would be, and it's just, okay, they went really weird.
Well, the interesting thing about that, though, is that was an old computer,
mm.
and the new computers look like what real-life old computers were,
yeah.
which implies to me that computer was real. That was probably a real thing you could get, except that the keyboard was wireless.
I think it's this weird, like, never time. Like, I feel like it's a time that is in the past, but also in the future. It's weird.
It's cyberpunk. Cyberpunk was always like that.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit cyberpunk, but it's not, like, overwhelmingly cyberpunk. Like, you know, we're not all wearing goggles. It's just sort of, I guess maybe, like, Hayao Miyazaki levels of weirdness. Like, what time is this set in?
I just want to be real with everyone. Cyberpunk always predicted a future where everything was high-tech, but it always looks much lamer than what we actually got, which is kind of incredible.
And in this show, everything looks a lot laner. Yeah. So, yeah, she starts, when she's home, she's checking her email as she was told to do in school, and she has an email from the dead girl, and the dead girl says that her body's gone, but she's still there, and she's still existing somehow. And Lane asks, oh, why did you die? And the girl replies, God is here. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's weird. And another thing I noticed from this is that the dead girl says, oh, remember we walked home one time? And which is weird because earlier in the episode, Lane was like, who is this girl?
Well, I mean, if you walked home with someone once in your entire life, right? Yeah. I've talked to lots of people I don't know their names. In fact, I've talked to them multiple times. I'm really bad with names and faces. But I guess the thing with this is that what's important to note is that the email is personalized.
Mm.
And that's the takeaway where you could say it was someone, the emails were sent after the person died or whatever. Or it was just sent to everybody, you know, like a reply all sort of thing. But no, they were clearly personalized. We walked together once and it seemed like she was responding.
Yeah, it almost seemed like it was more like a chat than an email. Like she said, hello, how are you? And she'd answer and, you know, she'd ask, like Lane asked, oh, why did you die? And she said, oh, because God's here. So it's like, it's not really an email. I think it's meant to be this high tech sort of instant messaging thing, but maybe this was before we had a term for instant messaging.
Maybe. Also, it is important to note that this is where the plot ends for this episode. We're like halfway through the episode, but there is no more plot now.
Oh, yes. Well, there are things that happen and there are things that are unexplained and I hope are explained later. But yeah, so she tells her mum and her mum does not say anything. Her mum's just got a lipstick on and she's eating and maybe she's like a professional businesswoman who's raising these two kids alone because, you know, the father doesn't... No, the father is there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just absent because he's on the internet all the time.
He's absent because he's a huge nerd.
Big goblin.
So Lane is in a bear costume and goes to her dad and she asks her dad for a new navi.
Which is a computer, I assume?
Yeah, I guess that's what they're calling their weird computers.
Also, can I just say...
Yeah?
You said that, oh, yeah, hopefully this all gets explained. I don't think shows get reputations for being hard to follow and for being really weird if they're concisely explained at the end.
Yeah, no, that's why. Like, I've always heard, oh, Lane is very hard to follow. And that's another thing that I have as an expectation, like, oh, Lane's going to be hard to follow. I didn't really think this episode was hard to follow, but I also am basing that on the assumption that whatever's happening will be explained in some regard.
Also, the episode was only not hard to follow if you assumed that nothing was happening.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
And so then she's on a train. And that's another thing I noticed. It's like, it's very sort of jumpy. It doesn't sort of have any transitions. Like, she's on the train or she's at school all of a sudden, and then she's at home and then she's on the train. And it just sort of like, which is good. We don't need to see any of the transition because we get to the point, oh, okay, she's just in a different room now.
But I think that the way it's shot and also with all the weird things going on, mostly through the second half of the episode and the steam beforehand, is that what they're trying to signal is that she has some kind of undiagnosed mental illness.
Yeah. And we spoke about this a bit when we were watching the show, like the episode. And we were sort of talking about how, and we could be wrong here, that in Japan, mental illness goes sort of like undiscussed. And you don't sort of talk about it, you just sort of ignore it and hope it goes away. So it may, like this, maybe this show will talk about mental illness and how Lane has some sort of undiagnosed, pretty severe mental illness when she sees things. And, you know, she's not all there. And that's quite interesting. Anyway, so, you know, the train stops and it says, oh, sorry for the inconvenience. And so someone says, oh, did someone get hit? And then Lane sees some blood dripping and then this is the part that I'm not really sure what's happened because all of a sudden she's, you know, she's in town and then there's a girl who walks across the train tracks and she sees her get hit and her face like changes horrifyingly and then Lane's at school and she's crying and she sees writing on the blackboard telling her to come to the Wired and it's just really strange and we're not sure what quite happened or if this was, you know, her imagination, if she was seeing things or if she was given a vision, but she seems to react well to quite like everything that happens, so it's also maybe possibly implied she's used to seeing all this.
Present day, present time.
On to opinions. What did you think?
So I guess I thought it was kind of boring because, as I said, look, I understand that. I guess if you're setting up half of this thing to be weird hallucinations, that's meant to tell you something about the tone of the show and about this character. But it's just, it's really, I've seen it done in a more entertaining way, I guess. It was just, it felt grindy rather than just slow.
Yeah.
And that's, maybe that's about modern sensibilities. Maybe, I have to think, I don't know when this show came out. Was it in the 90s?
No, I know. I think it was maybe 2000. I'm not sure if it says on the DVD. No, 1998. This DVD says 1998. So
yeah, 98 means that from a Western anime perspective, this is among the first sort of anime that came around. It's probably like in the first or second wave.
Yeah.
You get your Gundam and stuff in first wave. And it's probably in the second wave of stuff that came around. They got popularized. If it's any good, then obviously the anime community would have really latched onto that sort of thing. And I think that this is something that got a reputation primarily based on how odd it was and how accepting people were of anything anime at the time. Because there's a lot of stuff that's like that. People say Ninja Scroll's really good, and I haven't seen it, so I can't judge. But there are a lot of old anime that people really love because it's just what was around.
Yeah.
And people latched onto it regardless. And there's a possibility this is just that, and it got a reputation out of those things. Because the first episode, to be quite honest, is not amazingly impressive. It has one good premise, but the problem with that premise is it kind of tells you, and then it moves on.
Yeah, and it doesn't really elaborate much on that. It's sort of saying, oh, well, I guess we'll have to find out in the next episode sort of thing. And
Dragon Ball Z.
And then we just have to go for this weird sort of, oh, she's seeing things, or are they real? Are they actually happening? Is she just handling it really well, or is she used to this? And it's just sort of like, I hope that's explained, because otherwise it's just really confusing. And yeah, I was just, when you were saying about how the animation style and the style of anime, is that it kind of reminds me a little bit of Bubblegum Crisis 2040, not the original one, because I've never seen the original one, and I believe that's from the 80s, but I believe that the 2040 was from around this time, and just the animation style of sort of the way it looks, but Bubblegum Crisis 2040 has a lot more detail to the background rather than just splotches of things.
Oh boy, did they not want to draw backgrounds in this one. They're like power lines and they're like sky.
Yeah, which I know also was in Evangelion, like they had a lot of power lines in that and sky.
What do you mean? They drew like a whole town and stuff in the back, in like the whole Tokyo 3. Mm. It was beautiful.
But I like to think that the way that the scenery looks is because we're seeing things through Lane's eyes and how she sees the world. Maybe.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense on that scene at the beginning when she wasn't there.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying that I think it's stylized. I don't think it's lazy animation.
I don't think it's lazy animation. I think it's, we only have so much budget.
Maybe. We spend it all on tamers.
That doesn't make any sense at all. This show came out before that.
Yeah, I know.
Present day. Present time.
On to the theme discussion. I think the main theme that I took from this that might not even be correct, like it's all from how I think the series is going, and as I said, I'm going in essentially pretty blind. I think that a theme would be, is this real? Like, is this actually happening? We as viewers always seem to trust that what the narrator or what the main character is seeing and saying is correct. So is what we are seeing and what we are witnessing, is this all happening? Or is this just part of Lane's imagination?
You know that's not a theme, right? That's just the curiosity.
Yeah, it's like a theme is like, you know, mental illness and is this real? But that's,
yeah, mental illness is one thing.
Yeah.
Is this real is a question.
I guess, okay, if it's a theme, what is reality then?
Ah, there you go.
There we are.
That's a question.
You can almost take this to like an English literature class and start analysing it.
Mm. Also, none of the stuff we're seeing in this first episode is real, like, at all. Well, like, none of the... any stuff that he's in is vaguely weird is not there.
The bear costume's real.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not vaguely character. Weird. That's a great costume. That's a really cute outfit. No, but, like, the only thing that's weird that's real, I think, thus far, is the emails.
Mm.
And even then, I'm willing to believe that maybe the reply emails weren't real.
Yes, because none of the girls in the class said, oh, and it replied. They all said, we got an email.
Yeah, although that said, I'm also willing to believe the converse, which is that none of them were brave enough to actually say anything back.
Yeah.
Because Lane's weird, and she would do that.
Yeah, or maybe that the reply is her speaking to the computer and her brain coming up with a response, because so far what we've seen is that Lane may or may not have a problem. And it'd be really interesting to see how they portray mental illness in this, if that is the case. Unless it's just weird things, then it's just strange that she's so vacant and just...
your favourite word lately.
No, I just feel like that describes Lane as a character. She is vacant. She spends a lot of time just standing there and watching. And when she does say something, it's like, you're all so loud. And it's just, I don't know, she just... seems very vacant. Okay, similarities to Digimon Tamers.
I see your first note, and that is the lamest similarity I've seen in my entire life.
No, well, there is a character called Juri, and Nonaka said, oh, I gave Juri this name because there was a character in Lane that I liked called Juri.
Really? Oh, well, that means that she's a character who actually comes back. I assume this was a nobody.
I don't know. That's just what I've read. So the other bigger difference that I noticed is that, and I'm going to say that word again, Lane is vacant, and it just reminds me about how once Juri was taken over by the D-Reaper, she was very vacant. Like, before she started being all, like, weird and 100% D-Reaper-y, she was still sort of just, sort of when she was, when Leomonda died, and the D-Reaper had probably just possessed her, she was just all of a sudden very strange and very vacant, and she wasn't, like, super depressed, she was just sort of weird, and I don't know, it just reminded me a lot of that, when she was just sort of standing there staring at things, and it was just, yeah, what do you think?
Yes.
Did you notice any similarities?
No.
No, no similarities?
No.
Nothing you want to talk about?
No.
Present day. Present time.
Predictions. What do you predict will happen?
I think, and I don't know if it'll be halfway through the series or right at the end of the series, but I think Lane's going to kill herself.
Wow, that's dark, but I guess it would make sense, like, that she wants to become one with the Wide, and maybe.
It is, there are, like, the two options for the story that I see, and I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I think either she is convinced over the, either midway through the story or at the end of the story, that she wants to be on that other world, and that it is beneficial, or alternatively, the story revolves around the world trying to convince her that's the right idea, and the ending is her resisting it and recovering to an extent.
Mm.
I think those are the two ways I see this going.
Or maybe, you know, the world ending and them all coming to the Wired.
Yeah, I don't see that one happening.
And living, like, their life as a second life. I hope that they're going to expand on what Lane is seeing and if it's real and why she's actually seeing what she's seeing. Or, like, is it actually happening? Or is she just used to seeing everything like this way? And that's why she's not reacting super strongly. I want to know more about the character, and I'm pretty sure that will happen.
I get the sense they're never going to cover that in specifically, but what's going to happen is you're going to see really weird stuff in The Wired, and then you're going to start... The question will be a crossover of, like, okay, this stuff does happen in The Wired. Am I in the real world now? I don't know. It's there to breed... what's the word I'm looking for? Unsurety? That's not a word. Uncertainty. No, that's the word.
There we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Very smart.
And next time we'll be covering girls. Lane Layer 2 Girls. Just called Girls.
It's actually Girls.
Oh yeah, you miss saying it, your usual shtick. And just to finish off, if you had one word to describe this episode, what would you describe it as?
Boring.
I would say weird, which is so it's a really good.
I knew what you were fishing for. I knew what you were fishing for. What do you mean? Because you like, because it's in the name of the title,
no.
You've been saying it a whole bunch.
What?
Weird.
Yeah, I've also been saying vacant a lot, so we can't just say.
Could
just
have gone
saying,
with that. Could, no. I should have gone.
But
with
I
that.
Actually. But I don't think that, you know, I'm always going to say the name of the title of the episode. I just feel like weird is a very good way to describe this. What happens in this episode. I don't think I'm going to describe girls as the descriptor for episode 2 next month. But yeah, so that's our first Lane episode. I hope it was okay. I look forward to this journey we're going to undertake with you for the next year or so, because we're going to be a monthly series. And join us in 2 weeks, I guess, for the first manga, a coverage of the Digimon manga in 2 weeks, because we met the Patreon milestone and I didn't even notice. So we're going to be doing that, unless we, like, you know, we're not at that milestone anymore by the time it's 2 weeks. I'm not sure. But yeah, so see you guys next time. So the link dump's linked in the description. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on SoundCloud. You can follow us on @translationmon on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube, and now Instagram. We have a discussion thread on With the Will and a Reddit thread in the Lane subreddit. We'd really appreciate it if you would review us on iTunes and or Stitcher. We also have a website, so check that out. You can donate to our Patreon, which is linked in the description, from as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you access to our listener Slack chat group, but higher levels gets you exclusive notes, information, early and unedited episode recordings, the ability to suggest discussion topics, Skype calls with May and Jay, and more.
And thank you to our Patreon supporters, Sam Krieger, who has a podcast called The Moncast, which talks about Pokemon and Digimon, Stevie, who's also Stevie on YouTube, and you can find the link to their channel in the description, Wuchinglong, you can find it at twitch.tv/Wuchinglong, Metal Mamemon, Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki and the number one on YouTube, Metal Mamemon, Joe, Anime Guy, who is Hero La... Oop, I screwed that up. Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki and the number one on YouTube, Chakmon, Ishbal Bamba, Hero Lata, who is Hero Lata on Twitter, Jason Morosky, Ryuchi, who is Frost Magic on Archive of Our Own, Stephen Reeves, who is at WildWing64 on Twitter, Kaidawashi, Mac, Noam, Riku, Red and Garen from Breakfast with Digimon, which is another Digimon podcast you can find on SoundCloud, Chisai, who you can follow at Chisai236 on Tumblr, Corey, Kyle, the Lady Bugman, whose anime blog you can find at baguburagu.wordpress.com, Small Wolfie, who is on Topastic as Small Wolfie and has a comic called Eden of Melancholy, Tom, and Glitch Goat.
And I forgot to add this to the notes, but also Azrael Nicole. You can also make a one-off donation on PayPal, which found link in the description. It's paypal.me/Urgemon. Make sure to listen to the podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Bye!
Bye.